Good morning, welcome to Online Worship This Morning. So last week we started a new series. The series was titled Flawless. And in this series, we look at the insecurities that we might have and probably some of the inadequacies that we might feel. And as we think about that, it helps us to find out that a lot of discontentment that we have in our lives or some of the dissatisfaction that we have can be found actually in Jesus. Our contentment, our satisfaction can be all found in Jesus. And this is a series where we would look deeper into that and we would delve into that and to see how we can improve ourselves and how we can get closer to Christ as we look at what we are lacking. So this morning we'll be singing songs about God as our good Father. And I have a passage that I want to share with you. This is taken from 1 John. So 1 John chapter 3, verse 1 to 3, it says, "See what kind of love the Father has given to us, and that we should be called children of God, and so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is that it does not know Him. Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when He appears, we shall be like Him, because we shall see Him as He is, and everyone who thus hopes in Him purifies himself as He is pure." So, as we ponder about this passage, as we think about God as our Father this morning, when we sing the songs about God as our Father, I encourage you to receive that love and receive that grace He has given us. And this morning, as you sing, I encourage you to open up your heart and to feel that love every single day. So let us rise and let us pray and prepare our hearts for worship this morning. Lord, we want to give thanks that contentment can be found in You, satisfaction can be found in You. And I pray that today, as we hear Your word, You open our hearts and prepare our hearts to receive this contentment, to receive this satisfaction that can be found in You. And Lord, I also pray that this morning, as we reflect on You as our Father, that we can remember that love that You have given us and to enjoy this love that You have given us. So Lord, I pray that this morning, open our hearts, open our ears, and prepare us to receive what You have given us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Let us worship now.
Over the mountains and the sea, Your river runs with love for me, and I will open up my heart and let the healer set me free. To be in the truth, and I will daily lift my hands, for I will always sing of when Your love came down. I could sing of Your love forever. I could sing of Your love forever. I could sing of Your love forever. I could sing of Your love.
Sing of Your love forever. I could sing.
attend the whisper of love. In the dead of night, you is who you are, is who you are, is who you are, and I'm loved by you, is who I am, is who I am, is who I am. I've seen many searching for
to the fire.
done with the hiding, no reason to wait. My heart needs a surgeon, my soul needs a friend. So I run to the Father again and again and again and again. From the start, your son for redemption, the prize from my heart. I don't have a contact for that land of love. I don't understand, I can't comprehend. My soul needs a friend, so I run to the Father again and again and again and again. Oh, 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 oh. My heart has been in your sight long before my first breath, running to your arms is running to life from death. I feel this rush deep in my chest. Your mercy is calling out. Just as I am, you pull me in, and I know I need you.
Been in your sight long before my first breath, running into your arms is running to life from death. And I feel this rush deep in my chest. Your mercy is calling. I am, you pull me in, and I know I need you now. I run to the Father, I fall into grace. I'm done with the hiding, no reason to wait. My heart needs a surgeon, my soul needs a friend. So I run to the Father again and again. Father, I fall into grace. I'm done with the hiding, no reason to wait. My heart found a surgeon, my soul found a friend. So I run to the Father again and again and again and again.
Let's pray together. God, in this sermon series, we are looking at our identity, who we are, and we must admit that a lot of times we go out into the world and to search who we are and search for our identity and search for affirmation and search for comfort. And God, I know that a lot of us, we have gotten tired of the world that's outside. we're not able to find that hope and our identity outside. And so God, would you, in your mercy, would you draw us near back to you? In your grace, would you draw us back to you? God, would you open our eyes and open our ears to hear what you have to say to us, personally say to us, of who we are in you. And may we always come back to you and find our ground and our foundation in the love that you have for us. We thank you because you are the loving Father. You're the good Father. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Church, you may be seated.
In recent day, the idea of being flawless is something that pervades our society. And this is especially true, and it's displayed prominently in the movie Crazy Rich Asians. So this guy in the show, his name is called Eddie Chang. He's the cousin to Nick Young, the main actor. He would tell his family, pose in a certain way so that they get the best side for Vogue magazine. And in the same movie, people describe Astrid Leong as flawless for her skin, for the image she had, the kindness and goddess-like image. So this is how people perceive flawlessness. And at the same time, people also want to be that way. All the rich people, they will carefully sculpt their appearance, their dressing, even their religion, to the point where people are saying, wow, they're envious and they want that kind of lifestyle as well. Now, subconsciously, these standards and these ideas, they pervade our society, and it impacts on the people as well, and it impacts the ladies of our society. They think that way. Actually, not just the ladies, the gentlemen as well. They would think that I have to be flawless, I need to look good and perfect, I have to be that way all the time. All the time they have to be that way, and this is something that affects them deeply. Now, many find themselves to be in an awkward position, and that they're being in a very awkward place where they're thinking, oh, I don't like how I look. I don't like the way I am. I don't like my appearance. I don't like my position in life. I don't like what's going on. So this is something that affects them mentally. And I remember that what happened in college was people would just get into relationships with anyone. So the girls, whoever just come up to them and say, hey, I think you're pretty cute, I think you're good looking and I want to be with you, they would just say, oh, sure. They don't choose. It's not like the auntie's going to a grocery store, they will make a choice. No. Then whoever comes, they just say, okay, I will date you. But this is not just for the girls. The guys does this as well. Guys will also say, oh, that girl likes me, I like her back, and they just go into a relationship. So a lot of them, they hop from relationship, from one to another, relationship after relationship. And some of them, they enter into a relationship just because they want to have a purpose. Some of them enter a relationship because they want meaning. They want to have something that will fulfill them and give them hope, give them a direction. This is what they are looking for. And I've seen some entering the relationship because they just want someone to love them, or they want to feel needed. Now, some might be feeling bad about their appearance, and because a guy said, I'm interested in you, so they just went into a relationship. And it's hard, and sometimes I hear so many different reasons. And the guys and the girls, they all have different reasons for entering the relationship. And these are some of them. They say, oh, I want a guy who can take care of me. I want to have someone by my side so that I'm not lonely. I want to have a direction to work towards. I want to feel valued. I want to feel beautiful when he compliments me. I want to have someone to rely on. I want to be surrounded by love. I want to know that my future is assured, and I want to know that I have someone to count on. Now, each of them, they all have their own reasons for wanting to go into a relationship, and these are just some of them. Girls, guys, it's all the same. And when they enter into a relationship, they are always looking for something, and sometimes, perhaps at the start of the relationship, it starts off good. It starts off fantastic. You find purpose, you find fulfillment, and the direction, it seems good, and you're contented. But as time goes on, the direction that maybe the guy wants to go in, it starts to differ from where you want to be. The purpose that you had at the start of the relationship seems to start lose interest for you. And it starts to wear you down as you think that you need to take care of the guy. Now, the purpose that you had starts to be burdensome, tiring. Things start to add up, and if you're lucky, probably you would find a different guy. You'll end things off well, you'll find a different guy, and the next guy, you find the right one, and you end up in a good position at the end. But sometimes that does not happen, and you go from relationship to relationship, looking for things, you're looking for something, satisfaction, fulfillment, contentment, but you just don't find it. Some say, oh, I'm looking for that spark in that relationship. And some would say, I'm still looking for my Mr. Right. Now, for others that didn't go from relationship to relationship, maybe you stuck with it. Perhaps you might decide that, oh, I will just get married to this guy because maybe when I'm married, things are going to be better. Things are going to look be better because I'm spending more time with him. I can see him. I can communicate better with him. But a few years down the road, you're at home taking care of two kids. Your husband is back at home. He's tired. He's sleeping on the couch. And you're just thinking, why am I doing all this? I used to be beautiful, and now I look like an old lady. And all these little things, they just build up, bit by bit, bit by bit, bit by bit. And all that is left is discontentment, dissatisfaction. And you're just thinking, what am I doing here? Now, you might feel that you have put on what people call the third ring of marriage. So a lot of people joke about this. They say at the start of any relationship, right, people will go from the engagement ring, right? Then when they get married, they put on the wedding ring. And when things don't go well in your marriage, you put on the third ring. You put on the suffering. Now, a lot of people might joke about this, they might laugh about this, but maybe it might just be a bit closer to home than you think. When we go from relationship to relationship, looking for fulfillment, we're looking for contentment, we're looking for satisfaction, and all of this, it's all based on people that are around us. It's based on the guy, it's based on the girl. But we don't find it. We might not find it at all, and we just move on. Well, maybe this is not true for all couples. Some might find it, but most of us, many of us, are left with disappointment, discontentment. But at this point, what are we going to do? What can we do? Now let us turn to the Bible and let us see what the Bible has to tell us about this. Specifically, we look at Paul and the epistle of Philippians. Now you might be thinking, Philippians is a letter written by Paul. It's written by him when he was in prison. All right, he wrote about his circumstances. He wrote this to thank them for their gift, and he used that letter to share with them what's going on and encourage them. So he talked about his own situation. He talked about how they should stand firm in face of persecution, and regardless of what's happening, they need to rejoice. And he also commended Timothy and Epaphroditus. At the same time, he also talked to them about the legalese and the libertines, people who are using their own standards to judge people. Now, before we go further, you might be confused and think, well, what does relationship, not finding contentment in relationship, have to do with what Paul is writing? Well, Paul wrote this in a prison. And maybe, just maybe, we are in the same situation as well. With all the standards, with all the things, expectations, we have built up these walls, and we have put ourselves into this metaphorical prison as well. And we put ourselves in, and we are just going in circles and circles, round and round these four walls, looking for contentment. But all we find is disappointment, because contentment cannot be found where none can be found. Now, probably we are shackled as well with the expectation that we have of others, what others have expectation of us, and what we want from ourselves. Now, we might not be in prison physically, but that does not mean that we're not in a metaphorical prison. While Paul might be imprisoned physically, we are mentally imprisoned. So what did Paul do in these circumstances? What can we do? So let us turn to Philippians chapter 3. All right, Paul gave a response that is different from what we expected. He told the Philippians about his circumstance, and he encouraged them, and he starts this in chapter 3, verse 1. He says, "Finally, my brothers, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you is no trouble to me and is safe for you." Paul wrote to the Philippians, rejoice. How hard is it to rejoice in suffering? How hard is it to rejoice when we are in prison? We're in a bad situation, and we are discontent, we are unsatisfied. How are we going to find joy? How are we going to rejoice in such a situation? Now, Paul was in a tough situation, yet he told them to rejoice, and he tells us more in verse 2. He said, look out for the dogs, look out for the evildoers, look out for those who mutilate the flesh. He said, he's referring to those who thought that they could judge others based on their own achievements. He was referring to those legalists and libertines who had all the right procedures and all the right background, right lineage, and they would look down on people and say, hey, you're not like me. You're not doing the way that it should be done. And they're judging people based on their own earthly things. So now, these people during those times, they were trying to sow discord by placing emphasis on certain procedures and trying to undermine what it means to have faith in Christ and what it means to receive grace. And Paul explains this in verse 3 to 6. It says, for we are the circumcision, who worship by the Spirit of God, glory in Christ Jesus, put no confidence in the flesh. Though I myself have reason for confidence in the flesh also, if anyone else thinks he has reason for confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the 8th day, of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to righteousness under the law, blameless. Paul explains that even with all the achievements that you can have, even with all the right things that you can do, real contentment, real confidence, real satisfaction, it does not come from all these things. It does not come from your earthly achievements. Paul, he had the right lineage. He had the right position. He had the right connection. All he had to do has been done. He could have satisfaction. He could have contentment. But yet he tells those in Philippi that all this count for nothing. Paul, he was circumcised on the 8th day. That was according to the law. He did it. People of Israel, he's someone who's born from Israel. He was from the tribe of Benjamin, which means that he is of a royal lineage because David, he came from Benjamin as well. Now, as to Allah, he was a Pharisee and he was a prosecutor for the church and he had zeal. All these were all the right things. But Paul said, these things are all worthless. It counts for none. And this is how it is with us as well. And in Singapore, we have this status checklist. We call them the 5 C's of success. Well, we assume that we would be contented, satisfied when we have these 5 C's. And these 5 C's is cash, credit card, country club, condominium, and car. Now, in Singapore, it's a small country. So if you were to own a condominium, it meant that you paid premium price for a place that is pretty small, but you're paying premium and you own it. Now, same for country club. In a small country, country club takes a lot of space and it's considered to be a status. It's considered to be something to be envious of when you have country club membership. And not to talk about car. In Singapore, a Honda or a car could just cost $45,000 or more because you pay $25,000 for the car itself and you pay another $20,000 more for the certificate of entitlement. So think about it. These things all reflect that I have status. I have the ability to feel contented, satisfied, and when people look at me, I'm driving. You're in the train, in the bus, you're suffering, but hey, I'm driving. This is something that people would think, oh, when I achieve all this, I have contentment, I have satisfaction. But, why would some people, as depicted in the Crazy Rich Asians, even with all that kind of things, they're still looking for something more. They're still trying to be flawless. They're still trying to find contentment and they try to sculpt their life in a way that people are envious of. There's still something missing. Now, we thought that with all this, we can enjoy life, but Paul tells us, he tells the readers in Philippi, verse 7 and 9, that where real contentment, where real satisfaction, where real confidence can come from. Chapter 3, verse 7, it says, but whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake, I've suffered the loss of all things, count them as rubbish, and in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes from through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith. Now, Paul, he used the word gaining, he used the word losing to further emphasize his point that Christ is the real deal. His old lifestyle as a Pharisee, his zeal, his Jewish heritage, all of that, those are things that could bring him contentment, used to bring him contentment, but all this, it's a loss. It's deficit. It's something that is worthless. He takes that away. His ethnic claims, his education asset, his economic advantage, his social status, political power, all this are based on earthly standards. And these are the walls that people have set up for themselves, and these are the prison walls that keep us in. And we just go round and round in these prison walls, these four walls, trying to find contentment, trying to find satisfaction. But none can be found. The car, the cash, the credit card, the condominium, the country club, all this are what shackles you. It's all this that shackles us, and relationships that we try and find fulfillment, these are what holds us back. These are the things that we try and find fulfillment, but because it's earthly standard, we find none. These things do not compare to having Christ. Real fulfillment, real contentment, real satisfaction, it comes from Christ who died for us. It comes from the grace that we have received. For Paul says this in verse 8, that everything is a loss. Everything is a loss. All of his past acclaims, they have no value. Christ is the only thing that is worthy, and that's the only thing that brings him contentment, fulfillment, completion. And all this comes from Jesus Christ. He said all this comes from Jesus Christ, faith in Christ. He says this very clearly in verse 9. Paul's sentence here has a central theme. This theme is that we have to know Christ. And knowing Christ, there are two things that is included. The first is gaining Christ. The second is to be found in Him. Paul recognized that fulfillment is in Christ because every believer knows Him directly. That means to have a direct relationship with Christ. This message that Paul is relaying here is key, that what we are wondering about. Contentment can be found in Christ. Satisfaction can be found in Christ. Completion can be found in Christ. No earthly love, no worldly possession, no time-bound desire, no acquired privilege can compare to that ongoing relationship that is ours in Christ to enjoy. The ongoing relationship that we have Christ is a key to contentment and satisfaction. He explains it further by saying that gaining Christ is only the first step. It's the only first part of our fulfillment to be completed, to be fulfilled, is to be found in Him. It means to deepen that relationship that you have with Christ. To deepen a relationship that is not dependent on us, but it's on knowing who Christ is. And through the Epistle of Philippians, Paul shared with us that all this, what we are searching for, from the worldly possessions, all this can be found in Christ. What we are searching for from relationship can be found in Christ. This is not relevant just to those who read this 2,000 plus years ago, but it's also deeply relevant to us who are reading it today. Instead of searching for purpose, searching for direction, searching for contentment, fulfillment, and satisfaction in relationship, let us find it all in one place, all in one person, and the person is Christ Jesus. You might be thinking, wow, it seems a bit hard for us to have a relationship with someone that is cannot be seen or who seems a bit far away. But actually, it's as simple as A, B, C. A, to anchor yourself in Christ. Well, how can we anchor ourselves in Christ? Anchoring ourselves in Christ means we go back to Jesus in everything. It does not matter if it's a big thing or a small thing. Just go back to Jesus and tell Him. Tell Him every single thing. It's just like how when you have a relationship, you'll be on the phone, you'll be texting constantly, telling, hey babe, I'm doing this right now. Hey, I was driving just now and there was a car who cut me, I'm really angry. Oh, I had a bad time at work today, my boss and I, we had some disagreement. You would do that with your boyfriend or girlfriend, why can't you do that with Jesus as well? And the best thing is you don't even need a phone. When you're texting your girlfriend or boyfriend, you need your phone to be charged up so they can talk to them constantly. But with Jesus, you don't need that. You can talk to Jesus all the time. Well, what is stopping you from doing that? You can talk to Jesus on hours. You can be brushing your teeth and talking to Jesus. You could be driving and someone cut your lane. You could be talking to Jesus. You could be having a meeting and you could be talking to Jesus. You could be talking to Jesus all the time. Big thing, small thing, everything. And that is what it means to anchor ourselves in Christ. It's just to build that relationship. So B It is to build a relationship with Christ. Just like when you're dating. When you're building a relationship with a person, you have to constantly spend time with the person. Maybe you go cafe hopping. Maybe you watch a movie. You go on hikes. That's what you would do on dates. What's stopping you from doing that with Jesus? If you like cafe hopping, you could go from cafe to cafe. You could read a book. You could do a devotion. And that's spending time with Jesus. That's building the relationship. If you enjoy going on a walk, you enjoy going on hikes, you could be going on a walk and you could be praying at the same time. Well, that's called a prayer walk. But at the same time, you're still building the relationship with Christ. Now, if you like to watch a movie or read a book, that's what you could do as well. Read something about Christ. Learn more about Him. Find out more about Him. These are the little things that you can do to build that relationship. But all things that you are doing, there's one key thing that's all the same, whether it be spending time at the cafe, watching a movie, or going on hike, it is to spend time. Time is what we need. So to build a relationship with Christ, the most important thing is spend time with Him. Spend time with Him anytime, anywhere. Set aside that time, build that relationship. And when we build our relationship, in Him we find contentment, we find confidence. That is C, as simple as A, B, C. C, confidence or completion in Christ. When we anchor ourselves in Christ and when we build a relationship with Him, we find confidence, we gain confidence in Him. We find that Christ can complete us and give us fulfillment and contentment, and He gives that us true grace. Do you still remember the five C's I shared about just now? Cash, credit card, condominium, country car, and car. When we have confidence in Christ, these five C's that we think can give us contentment, it's no more. We don't need any of that. We only need one C, and that one C is Christ Jesus. That's the only thing we need. Because someday the house that we have might devalue, the car that we have probably will devalue, the country club membership probably will expire. Most of the things will depreciate, but there's only one thing that the value would never change, and that is Christ Jesus. His value would always be the same, and in fact, it goes up. And that is where we get our confidence from. When we are content in Christ, when we are completed, we are in a better position to love someone. But honestly, this does not just apply to the singles out there. It does not just apply to the single ladies, or the single guys, or all those who are in relationship. It applies to everyone, even when you are married, even when you are dating. When we are complete in Christ, when we know how Christ loves us, we can love the other party better. Because the expectation that we place on the other half, it's no more. Your expectation, your fulfillment, your satisfaction, it comes from Christ. You become complete. You do not need to wait until you're in a relationship with a guy to find a direction. You do not need to wait until you're in a relationship to find purpose. You do not need to wait until you're in a relationship to find completion. You do not need to go from relationship to relationship looking for the right one. You do not need to become the one that others say that you are not the right one. The search for validation, the search for satisfaction, the search for fulfillment, contentment, all this can be found in Christ. In Christ alone, you can have all of that. And at that point, perhaps you might be even more ready to love, even more ready to serve. After all, someone who is hurt would hurt others. But when you're complete, you'll be able to love completely. And maybe the relationship that you have with your partner will be fulfilling and full of contentment. So while you're looking for your Mr. or Mrs. Right, be all right first. Let us pray. Lord, we just want to remember that in You, satisfaction can be found, completion can be found, and contentment can be found. We want to give thanks that through grace we have received these. And Lord, I pray that You can help us to develop and deepen our relationship with You and know that You are the only one that can satisfy all our desires. I pray that You'll help us every single day as we walk closer with You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Devotion.
turning back, no turning back. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. The cross before me, the world behind me. No turning back, no turning. Before me, the world behind me. No turning back, no turning back. Christ is enough for me. Christ is enough for me. Everything I need is in you.
Jesus, you are our greatest need, and we believe that you are more than enough. Whatever gain we have, we may count as loss for the sake of you. We may not be able to do it right now, but Lord, please help us. We want you more. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Church, please be seated.
It's great to be able to worship with you this morning. So before we go, allow me to share some announcements with you guys. The first thing is offering. So I pray that we can continue to participate in worship through offering, because offering is a practical way that we can respond in worship. It's one action that we can take to respond in worship. So I remember that offering is something that I have to practice, I have to put into action, because it's not easy. But when you start doing it, this is a spiritual discipline that helps me to grow, and I hope that it will help you to grow as well. So offering can be made through different means. One of the way is PayPal, the other way is credit card, or if you would like, to drop off a check at KMC. So you can head over to mykac.ca to find out more. Another thing that I would like to share with you this morning is Connect Card. So if this is your first time here, fill out the Connect Card and allow us to reach out to you. Let us know who you are, get to know you, and connect you with one of our pastors so that you can find out more about the church as well. So the church is not something that we want you to come and go just like this, but we want to become a community together with you. So the church, we have courses, we have oikos, we have different things that will be coming up. So you can find out more through filling up the Connect Card, allowing us to reach out to you and share such information with you. At the same time, we also would like to encourage those who have not joined our small group ministry, oikos, to sign up and join us. Because I find that oikos is something that is really, really fulfilling and something that is really a blessing to my own spiritual life. Because it has allowed me to walk alongside brothers and sisters and allowed me to share my life with them and hear their sharing of their life with me. And this is an important part of my spiritual growth, because community is important as a Christian. You need to have friends, you need to have people that you can count on during your hard times, that you could share with and grow with, to pray with. So I pray that you'll sign up for oikos and that you could join us, join this family. And I hope that I will see you in one of the groups. So now we have come to the end of today's worship. Let us rise and open your arms in a gesture of receiving. And let me bless you with the benediction taken from 2 Thessalonians. So 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 verses 13 to 17, it says, "Meanwhile, we got our hands full to continually thank God for you, who is so loved by God, because God has picked you out from his very start. And I want you to think of it that you are included in God's plan of salvation. And it's by that bond of faith, living in truth, that is the life of the Spirit that has invited you through the message that has been delivered to you, in which you get the glory of Jesus Christ. So take firm stand, feet on the ground, head high, keep a tight grip on what you have been taught, whether it be in personal conversation or is it by Jesus, by God our Father, who has reached out in love and who has surprised you with gift of unending help and confidence. I pray that this week you have a fresh heart in you and that you'll feel invigorated at your work and you'll be enlivened in your life. So I pray you have a blessed week ahead, and I'll see you next week.